Good morning, everyone. Take a moment and let's pray this morning, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for this morning and pray that you would guide us through your word. Pray that you would just be with us and your spirit would rain down upon us, Lord. Just thank you for what you're doing and thank you for allowing us to come together in fellowship together. This morning, there's a lot of places that can't do this, and we just thank you, Lord, every day that we can come together and pray and worship you freely and without worry. Lord, we pray in your name. So, good morning. Hope we're all doing well. Good to see some new faces. If I haven't met you, if I haven't shaken your hand, we'll go with one of those words. I'm Pastor Ian. I am the pastor here at Antioch Wesleyan Church, so it's great to meet you. In life, especially Americans, okay, in life, we are busy. And we often get stuck in routines and duties of our day, don't we? Our days become routine and we wake up, we have breakfast, we do what we need to do, we go to work with the sole goal to get off work, to make sure that we can get home to watch that favorite TV show that we pre-recorded, and we kind of have this routine. You know, it's kind of goes back to one of my favorite movies with Bill Murray, Groundhog's Day. Absolutely one of my favorite movies, and it's just that reminder, like, that's kind of how we act sometimes, don't we? Mondays are Mondays, Tuesdays are Tuesdays. We have the same repetitive nature. And each day becomes this set of tasks, you know? And we fall into this sometimes. We fall into this nature where on Sundays we come and it's like, check mark. We did Sunday morning. We go to church on Sunday. We go to work on Monday. We might do Bible study on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, wherever. But it's just this constant rhythm, which is good. But at the same time, sometimes we get into that rhythm that we forget what we're doing in it. It just becomes second nature. It's kind of, we probably all have done this, but have you ever had that mentality where you're driving home from work and you get home and you don't understand how you got home? You don't remember any of the lights. You don't remember any of the turns. You were just like, huh, autopilot. You got there. You did everything you needed to do, but you just didn't think about any of it. And sometimes that's how we are. A lot of times, actually. But this morning, we're going to talk about how God calls us to something more meaningful than that. Just something that breaks up the mundane of our life, of our day. And it requires us to leave the routine, to leave the comfort of our daily tasks and become part of something bigger than ourselves. So this morning we're going to talk about the mission of Jesus Christ. And when I was reading this week and I was praying and I was saying, how am I going to preach this? What am I going to say? And you know, I am notorious, as you guys may have heard, to scrap my sermon and start over. And this is sermon number 4. And trust me, it was an interesting route to get there. But it's centered around one verse. And that one verse this morning is Matthew 4:19. And Jesus simply says, come follow me. Jesus says, and I will teach you how to bring, let me read that again. Jesus said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So this call is not just for the early followers of Christ, but speaks to each of us today. And it summarizes the mission of the church, the mission of Christ to follow Jesus. And in doing that, to lead others to him as well. So we're called to come and follow Jesus in our lives. And we are invited into this mission with Jesus Christ. And that's one thing I want us to remember this morning, is that we are invited in to the mission of Christ. We're not on our own. We're not doing it ourselves. But we are invited in to a purpose, to a bigger meaning that is already happening. And we just get to be a part of it. So this morning, our discussion is going to focus on this verse. But I want to break it up into three key points this morning. The first we're going to go over is the call to follow. And that's going to be our personal relationship with Christ. We are called to follow Christ, first and foremost. And then the commission to fish, to being active in evangelism in our life. To not just follow Christ, but to follow his example and be active in evangelism. And then in turn of doing that, we're going to talk about the community of believers and what it means to be building the body of Christ. That's a lot happening in one verse, isn't it? But that's the beauty of Christ. Something so simple as, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. That simple verse is so much more. So our first point this morning is that we are called to follow. We are called into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 4:19, we see this powerful and intimate moment where Jesus invites his disciples with just the heartfelt words, come, follow me. Nothing else, no flashy things, no flashy signs and billboards and lights pointing at him. Just a simple invitation, come follow me. And this invitation goes beyond this mere call just to action. It's a personal encounter. It's an invitation to personally know Jesus Christ. And this sets the stage for this transformational journey that he invites us into. So going from the routine of our day, being invited to follow him. And that's one thing to remember, is that we are called to follow Jesus, not to stay in our life what we're doing. Now, we might have the same job. We might have the same, maybe the same group of friends. But we're called to follow Jesus, which means we're called into his life. We're called into his purpose. We're called into following his example instead of our own. So this use of the word come follow me, is just this, just a welcoming gesture. I can imagine, you know, Jesus just casually walking by, just casually coming in to this scene, to this first disciples, and saying, come, follow me. And how intrigued they must have been to say, wow, okay, let's go. Just follow me. And Jesus is asking them this to let them experience the presence of him in a tangible way. Because we think about how we want to know Christ. But sometimes we forget that knowing Christ is being with Christ. It's not just reading about Christ. It's not just hearing about Christ. It's not just coming to church on Sundays and listening to a sermon about Christ. It's about following Christ in your life. If you continue to come to church or do something, go to a Bible study, go to a friend's house, listen to a worship song, and you step into that, hang out for a moment, and then leave that presence of the Lord and go to your own life, you are not following Christ. But we are called to follow. Come, follow me, is what Christ says. So every aspect of our life should be following Christ. How did Jesus act in this situation? How did Jesus act in this situation? environment. And we follow him and we follow that example. And this phrase, follow me, conveys this sense of devotion and commitment. By choosing to follow Jesus, the disciples were not just agreeing to walk alongside him physically. They were actually agreeing to align their hearts and their lives with the teachings of Christ. And being and seeing the example of Christ in their own life. So this call to follow is not just a one-time event. You don't just accept Christ. You don't accept the call to follow Christ, and it ends there. When somebody says, follow me, when you're hanging out with a group of friends, when you're with your spouse or someone's excited, they're like, hey, follow me. Come here. Come on, follow me. It's usually to show you something, isn't it? Somebody wouldn't be like, follow me. Come here. Look at this empty room. Isn't it cool? You're like, no. It's boring. Why'd I follow you? But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus says, come follow me. And it's an invitation to experience a life with Christ, a life that is meaningful and more purposeful than we could have ever imagined. But it's a simple invitation of come, follow me. And it's important to note that Jesus also invites his disciples and all of us in an individual way. He's telling everyone to come follow me, but he's approaching the disciples, come follow me, and then come follow me. And it's about this individual relationship he desires to have with each one of us. And this personal approach really shows the value that Jesus places in each person that he wants a relationship with and emphasizes the uniqueness of the journey he wants to have with you. Because if we all just follow Jesus, follow his life, we will experience just this profound life from our perspective. But we have to follow him first. So, the beginning of this verse. Come follow me. There's a lot in there. And it's this invitation to embark on this life-changing adventure filled with purpose, meaning, and a deep-rooted connection in our Savior. It is a call to step out on faith, to leave behind the familiar, to leave behind our routines, and embrace a new way of living guided by love and with the wisdom of Jesus Christ. So remember that following Jesus is more than just a simple acknowledgement of his teaching. Following Jesus is more than just saying, yeah, I've read the Bible. I've read those verses. Following Jesus is living out the Bible, living out those verses, living out what Jesus Christ has showed as an example. That's what it means to follow him. So the relationship with Jesus goes way beyond just belief. That is a starting point, but it goes further. It involves a willingness to learn, to be open to his guidance, and allow his teachings to shape our thoughts, our actions, our lifestyle, our words. So following Jesus is letting our whole life be engulfed by Christ. Because it's not about living on our own, but it's about letting Jesus live within us so we can live with Christ in our life. So ultimately, following Jesus' call is to live a life that reflects his values, his teachings, and to be a beacon of light into a dark and troubled world as he was. A journey of growth, it's a journey of transformation, It's a journey of deepening your faith every single day, where we are consistently challenged to live out his love and his message of grace and redemption in our daily lives. So this morning, one of the questions I want you to ask yourself is, are you truly following Christ? Are you truly following him in every aspect of your life? Are you taking the time to deepen your relationship with him through prayer, through meditation of the word, in aligning your daily actions with his teachings? Are you asking yourself, what areas in my life do I need to follow you? What areas in my life am I doing on my own that I might be struggling with, that if I followed you in, may make sense, may be easier? But while a personal relationship with Christ is foundational, it is the beginning, it is You need to accept the call to follow Christ in your life. But the mission of Christ doesn't stop there. We need to build our own relationship with Christ. But Jesus immediately, in this verse, links following him to a purpose beyond ourselves, because he calls us to fish for people. So come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And that's our second point this morning, is the commission to fish, being active in evangelism in our life. So this metaphor, fishing for people, is a powerful illustration of the role that we play in evangelism. Jesus asked, just as skilled fishermen know the right bait to use, the right hook to use, the right time of day to go fishing in the environment that they're in to catch the fish. They know the best time to throw their line. They know where to find the most amount of fish. They know where they school, they pull up. They know this. So we must approach our mission, our environment, the neighborhood and the culture that we're in, we must approach it with thoughtfulness and strategy. And what I mean is, if you're a fisherman, that's great. If you're a skilled fisherman, but you're a deep water fisherman, and you use deep water strategies to go fishing in a pond, are you going to catch fish? Probably not. You're going to use the wrong kind of bait. You're going to use the wrong kind of hook. You're going to send out the line the wrong way. There's a lot of things, and you're going to be like, I don't get it. I'm a fisherman. I catch swordfish. I've caught sharks, but I can't catch a trout? This is ridiculous. Well, in the environment that you're in, are you using the right tools for your environment? In the neighborhood, in the culture that we're in the environment that we're in, as Antioch Wesleyan Church, for our mission to love God, love people, and reach the world, are we using the right kind of bait? Are we using the right kind of line? Are we using the right kind of hook to reach our community? Or are we deep sea fishermen trying to catch fish in a pond that we know nothing about? And we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing this? The first step is to follow Christ. But then Jesus says, go, and I will send you out to fish for people. But we need to use the right tools. We need to use the Word of God. We need to use prayer. We need to use evangelism. We need to use all the tools that he gives us in the way that he calls us to in our communities. So when we choose to follow him, we are committing ourselves to a life of discipleship. So that's one thing. If you say, I'm a Christian, I accepted Christ when I was a child, I accepted Christ long ago, I accepted Christ last month, it doesn't stop with the accepting of Christ. Because the acceptance of Christ is just the beginning of the journey that you're going to be on for the rest of your life. So ultimately, following Jesus is a call that we need to face. But being active in evangelism is the task that we are given. When Jesus assigns a task to those who choose to follow him, he is calling us to be intentional and deliberate in our approach. We must be willing to invest time and build relationships, listening to others, listening to understand their unique perspectives and struggles. So just as a fisherman studies the habits of the different fish species that he is trying to reach, we must also choose to understand the environment that we are in. So what does it matter? Don't worry about it. As long as Jesus is calling. But as long as we are choosing to study the habits, study the neighborhood, study the environment that we are in, that's where we're going to make the difference. Do we know our community? Do we know our neighbors? Do we know their needs? Do we know their desires? Do we know their struggles? If the answer is no, then we need to go do that. If the answer is no, and you know somebody who knows the community, go ask them. I don't mean to put you on blast right now, but I'm going to talk about our brother Jermaine right now. Love you to death. Hello. But he knows the community, right? With his ministry chosen, he's in our community. So if you are a person that's like, I don't understand our community, but I also don't know how to reach our community, go to someone like Jermaine or someone else who's in the community already and say, how are you doing it? What do you need help with? How can I help you? Because while we all might not be gifted or asked or called to teach or preach or have the task that we're given into, someone else is. And maybe our goal and our ability is not to become another teacher, but maybe our goal and our calling is to help facilitate the ones who already teach. To be the person that's like, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do, but do you need water? Do you need supplies for what you're doing? How can I help you in that ministry? But evangelism is about finding the group of people and reaching them for Christ. But like I said, not all of us are called to be, not everyone's going to be the one that wants to go out and talk to people. So find the one that is and say, how do I help you? Because I'm too shy. But what do you need to accomplish that? And then that's how the body of Christ is built. We all take our own unique abilities to build the body of Christ. Because the hand that picks up the word of God can I pick up this with my elbow? No. But can my hand function without my elbow? No. So you got to remember that where you fit into the body of Christ isn't not meaningful to the task at hand. But where you fit in helps accomplish the overall mission of Christ. So evangelism is not just a task reserved for a select few, but it's commissioned for every believer. It involves sharing the gospel through your words, your deeds, inviting others to experience the transformative power of Jesus Christ in their life. So first, we are called and invited into this. Come, follow me. And through that, following Jesus' example, he will make you fishers of people. But then we asked ourselves a question before, and then it leads to another question. So not only how is your relationship with God, how are you actively participating in your relationship with God? How are you actively participating in the mission of Christ to go to seek and save the lost, to come follow me and I will make you fishers of people? How are you actively participating in that? Are you just sitting there going, nope, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I'm going to read my Bible, but I'm not going to go anywhere. Well, Jesus didn't say, follow me, sit here and wait. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. So it takes an act of going to the community and evangelizing. Evangelism is an integral part to our mission, but it cannot stand alone. Because as it's like this circle we're going through, and it's a continuous rotating flow of accepting the call to Christ, accepting Christ into our heart, following him in our life, to then go out into the world, share the gospel, to bring them into a relationship with Christ and fellowship together. Our mission reads, love God, love people, reach the world. But what we should really do, if you want it to make a little bit more sense, is make it in a circle that just never ends. Because we love God to reach people. No, yeah, sorry. I'm messing up my words. We love God to love people, to reach the world. And the next step is to show them how to love God, which allows them to love people so they can go reach the world so they can show people how to love God. And it's just that over and over. So maybe that's what we should do. Maybe instead of putting love God, love people, reach the world, period, maybe I should put it in a circle on our website. Because it is an ongoing mission. It does not stop. So third, once we accept the call, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The third point is to be the community of believers, building the body of Christ. So Jesus Christ, his message was not one of individualism. It was not one of singularity, but one of unity and community. He called people to come together and form a collective body of people known as the church. That's one thing that I think that we continually, in this day and age, in this 21st century culture, mess up all the time. We're going to church. What are you talking about? You're going to church. You are the church. We're going to fellowship together as a body of believers. But we don't, like, we just call this the church. It's just been this mentality that we've switched to over time. So now people are like, oh, we go to church on Sundays. What? You are the church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're coming here to fellowship together as a body of believers that are the church. So when we leave this building, guess what, you guys? If you didn't know, Monday, this is a preschool. Because when we leave the church, when we leave the building that we call the church, we are the church out in the community. We are the body of Christ to those who don't know us. And we should act that way and be that way intentionally every day. So this community of believers was founded on the principles of spreading the gospel, caring for the sick, helping those in need. And they were doing this by following the footsteps of Jesus. Believers were tasked with showing his love and his compassion to the world around us. Through acts of kindness and selflessness, these early followers of Christ, these first disciples, demonstrated the importance of coming together as a community to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. And their actions served as this example of how unity and collaboration can bring positivity in the world that we live. So by embracing these teachings of Jesus in our daily lives, believers are able to create a strong and supportive community that welcomes all who want to join. Because Jesus didn't say, come follow me when you've done this. Come follow me after you've figured this out or got this right. He said, come follow me. He doesn't give a guideline. He doesn't give a prerequisite of how you need to be to follow Christ. Because once again, following Christ is the first step of the lifelong journey. Every day that I spend with God, every day that I am with the Lord in my life, I strive to be more and more like Him. I have mistakes, I mess up, I have my ups, I have my downs. But I wake up tomorrow saying to myself, if I can be better than I was yesterday, then I'm on the right track. Because the Christian I was 20 years ago is not the Christian I am today. But the Christian I was 20 years ago was still the Christian that I am today, who is following Christ. But the first few steps I took with Christ are different than the 20 years later. But the point is that you keep following Christ, that you continue to learn and develop in your life. It's not about this one thing, oh, I got my little paper degree that I'm a follower of Christ, let me go do my thing now. It's this lifelong journey. So He's calling us to be in this life with Him. Every step that Jesus took was for the mission of the glory of God. Every step that He took was to glorify God, to build the body of Christ, to show others how to live through acts of kindness and this community that they bring together. So ultimately, the goal and mission of the church was to bring people together in faith and love and to create a community that reflected the values and teachings of Jesus Christ by living out the principles in their interactions with others. They were able to demonstrate the transformative power of community with Jesus Christ. So the church, the body of Christ, where we are now, is meant to be a place of growth, support, and unity, where believers can come together and be encouraged and equipped. Church isn't a place for you to put on a face. If you're struggling, church should be a place that you can come in and say, I'm struggling. I need encouragement. I need prayer. Church should not be a place that we all come in and say, oh, I'm doing great, having a great week, we're all happy. But sometimes you just need to come in and be like, this, I need to be open and I need to be true. I need help today. We all have times of doubt. We all have times that we're struggling in life. Even the disciples, think about it. The years that they followed Christ, day in, day out, 12 plus hours a day, let's say, and still they questioned. Still they doubted. But it's okay, because Jesus encouraged them. Jesus lifted them up. Jesus taught them and guided them. So as we are in this together, we need to do that for each other and build each other up and encourage each other. Because the most beautiful things that we see in our life are usually broken down first so they can grow into something more. It's like bearing fruit or trimming and pruning a rose bush. It seems so weird and contradictory to what it is to cut the stems down, to cut the wilting, is that the word? Rose. And it just feels weird, like, it's there already, why am I cutting it away? But sometimes we have to cut that away so we can grow healthier in the next season, so we can produce the fruit in the next season. But if we don't cut down, if we don't have those moments where we need to go, I need help in this, I need to be cut down, I need to be pruned, we limit ourselves from producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. Because it doesn't matter if we come in and say, I'm a beautiful flower, if we're not healthy. Because when we accept that we need to let that part go, be cut down a little bit, and grow again, what God is going to grow out of that is going to be 10 times better than what we ever thought we had before. But it starts simply with this mission of Christ to follow me, to follow Christ, and he will make us fishers of people. So just like I said, the church is meant to be a place of growth, support, and unity. Our mission includes building up the community around us by fostering an environment of love, accountability, and spiritual development in each other. So the last question I want to ask you is, how are you actively engaged in your church community? How are you being intentional in your relationships? Are you contributing your gifts? Are you participating in the activities? Are you looking for ways to encourage and support others as we collectively pursue the mission to love God, love people, and reach the world? The mission of the church is beautifully captured in Jesus' call to come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Because it begins with our personal relationship with Christ. Love God. And extends through our active evangelism, evangelistic efforts in the community around us. Love people. And then culminates in the community of believers as we reach the world. So it's this collective journey that requires us to step out in dedication and love. So our mission at Antioch Wesleyan Church and so many other churches, they just phrase it in a little bit different way. They might word it differently, but it can be centered and summed up by following Jesus in Matthew 4:19. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. We live our lives following Christ as his example to learn how to love God deeply and obediently so that we can share with others the transformative power of Jesus Christ through living out the gospel in our own life. To ultimately bring people into this community of believers and fellowship. And it's this constant cycle, like I said, of growing deeper in our relationship with God, to share that relationship with our own example to others so they can come and experience Christ for themselves. And while doing that, to continually build each other up and bring people into that same relationship. So as you go this week, I want us to understand and hold fast to this mission that Jesus Christ says in Matthew 4:19. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. To deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, to actively share our faith, and to invest in our community. Because the church is not just a building. It's a living, breathing mission. And it's our job to faithfully follow Christ and make this impact together. So I'm going to follow I'm going to invite the worship team up right now. But as I close, it's something that I continue to say, but it's because I want us to really put it in our mind, is that at Antioch Wesleyan Church, our mission is to love God, love people, reach the world, which is fulfilling the mission we see here in Matthew 4. And this way that I see our church fulfilling the mission is through our vision that we have this year, which, yep, grow 55 and 25. And I want to explain this. I want you to think of our vision as the action steps we are taking this year to fulfill the never-ending mission that we have to love God, love people, reach the world. Our vision is just how we as a church want to fulfill our mission in the season that we're in. So, our mission will always stay the same. Our mission this year, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, will always be to love God, love people, reach the world. But our vision is how we want to accomplish that in the season that we're in as a church. And the season that we're in as a church is that I feel that we are in a place of growth, that we want to grow as a church. And in order to grow, we need to do these certain things to fulfill the mission. We need to give intentionally of our time, our efforts, our mindset, our giving to help support the mission of Christ. So we give intentionally. And when we grow, we reach consistently. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a one-time event. We consistently going out in our community. We are consistently sharing the gospel with our life, our words, our actions. And we do this because we are obeying faithfully. Because when we learn who Jesus Christ is, when we follow Him every day and we learn His commands, we want to obey Him faithfully. And if we obey Him faithfully, we are going to go out and reach the community around us. And because of all of that, we understand that it is an act of worship. So we want to learn how to worship deeply this year. That worship is not just the songs we sing, but it's a lifestyle. It's a living, breathing lifestyle that we have to worship God in our actions, our words, everything. So I want us to remember that. Our mission is to love God, love people, reach the world. But this year, to fulfill that mission, let's grow by giving intentionally, reaching consistently, obeying faithfully, and worshiping deeply. And I truly believe this. The reason why it says grow 55 and 25 is because I believe that if we do that, if we live our life in the mission and in the vision of this church, we will grow our church by 55 people in the year 2025, which sounds like a lot. Like I said, it's about pretty much doubling our church. But there's nothing impossible with Christ. And if we are consistently giving of our time, giving of ourselves to reach the community around us, to obey God in our commands that He has given us, and to truly act in our life as a worship towards Him, people will come. So let's start by living out our mission. And when Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people, let's choose to follow Christ right now, today. And it starts with that invitation to follow His example and commands to share the love of Christ with all we come in contact to so they can see the transformative power of Christ in their life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would follow You. I pray that we would accept the invitation to follow You in our life so we can learn from You, so we can see how Your life is, so we can just understand Your life in our own. And I pray right now that if there are those here this morning that are just saying, I haven't even started following Christ. Well, we can start today. Because that invitation is for everyone. And if you're sitting here this morning and you want to follow Christ, if you want to start that journey and take that first step, it's as simple as accepting Christ into your heart and believing that He is your Lord and Savior. And if you believe that this morning, if you feel that this morning, I invite you to pray with me to accept Christ this morning by saying, Lord, forgive me for the sins in my life. Forgive me for living without you. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. And if that's you this morning, I would love to hear from you after church. I would love to pray with you and speak with you. And Lord, right now, I just pray that as we go out today, as we continue our life, as we go into our routines, that we would challenge ourselves to step out and live out the mission that you set for us to follow you and become fishers of men, become fishers of people in our life from this day forward. In your name we pray. Amen.